Good morning, Ron. How are you today?
Great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great, Ron, because we got the go-ahead this week for practice and things to start on time. And I hear you chuckle because the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what has this looked like from your perspective, in a nutshell, of course, over the last and we've spoken, you know, back in May, but especially this last month or so, because I can't imagine this has been a summer where you would say, you know what, I'd like to do that again.
Yeah. Well, this is my 43rd year in education in Wyoming and my 17th starting here as a commissioner, and I've never had a more challenging 4 months, I can tell you that. It just, you know, you just constantly are thinking about it and trying to find ways to, as you continue to learn, and it's still so fluid, but just very excited for the kids that we're going to be able to at least, and you'll hear us say a lot as of now, we're going to be able to give them a chance.
Ron, is because of Wyoming's schedule, they start a little behind, a week or two behind some of the neighboring states. And before the announcement was made from the WHSAA, Utah and Idaho both announced and that they were moving forward. Did the out-of-state announcements have any impact on Wyoming? Were you kind of watching what the other states were doing, or was Wyoming kind of on its own and did everything independently?
No, absolutely. We were having weekly Zoom meetings with our surrounding states as well, just to kind of keep each other up to date and, you know, what were you doing and what, you know, how did it work for you and, you know, just strategies and those types of things. And, you know, as I told our schools yesterday, we met with all of our superintendents, principals, and ADs. If ever there is a time that, and Wyoming is so good about this, I think, share. I mean, we've just got to, if something's working for you, share it with others, because that's going to be the key to get through this. We've got to definitely do it together.
So, Ron, I guess the big question now is, obviously, there's going to be some changes. State football, obviously, not going to be at the war. State volleyball going to go to one classification per day for 4 days. But what does fall sports look like? Other than some of those big adjustments like that, what are some things that people are going to notice this fall that maybe is going to be different than what they're used to?
Well, the biggest challenge right now still is trying to figure out the spectators and how to do that safely. We are currently with the governor's orders, and under the 250 right now is what the restrictions are, and yet schools can put in for a variance. So I think that part's going to look differently. The practices are going to have to be organized a little bit differently, more into pods, trying to keep the same kids together in those groups as they practice and stuff, just in case there is a positive test of some sort. Then the tracking becomes and tracing becomes very important, and will actually, the sooner they can do that, if that were to happen, then the quicker we can get them back on. We do have things set up to where if a school has to miss, it looks like we're going to have some schools that might not be able to start right at the beginning of practice in the season. As soon as they are able to do that, or if we're in the middle of the season and let's say a school had an outbreak to where their local health department made them shut down for a week or so, once they're given the go to come back, they'd come right back into that schedule in any of the sports. In football and volleyball, where it's, you know, seating's important for the culminating events, those will not be forfeits. Those would be just no contests. And we've got some processes set up to be able to try and seed those. And so there's a good chance we could have some uneven records as far as some teams having more games than others or less than others, however you want to look at that. But so I think those things are going to be different, and I think it's going to remain fluid and continue to change as we go. I mean, we've told them that we've got to be flexible, we've got to be ready to adjust, and I think, you know, that's the one thing I'm confident in our schools that they're going to put all the protocols in place. We just can't get complacent with it. We've got to be diligent. And I think if we do that, then I think we have a real good chance of completing the seasons. The adults have got to help us. They've got to go, you know, follow those protocols as well. And that's one of the concerns, Matter of fact, that was my last statement to Dr. Harris. I said, we're having all these meetings. We're going to meet with each individual coaches group next week and just, you know, lay out the importance of their role in this and how they've got to be the ones to help make it go. And I told Dr. Harris, we're going to do everything we can to make sure the adults don't screw this up for the kids, because this is about the kids.
Ron Laird, director of the Wyoming High School Activities Association, with us this morning. Ron, you mentioned some of the changes that could happen. What about screenings, especially in a sport like football that, I mean, you just can't social distance, right? So are athletes going to be required to take some sort of screening process, temperature check, fever test, all that kind of stuff before they can step out on the field on a game? Or what will that look like for the students before game time?
Matter of fact, that'll be a daily process for the schools need to go through with their athletes. We have a screening form that's on our website, including a temperature check, and they'll need to do that daily. And then when we get to competition, the team that would be traveling, they'll need to do that before any kid can get on the bus, or any coach or any manager, whoever is going to be on that bus, would have to be screened before they go. Be their responsibility, and then the host school obviously would be doing the same, and then the host school would also be screening. For example, you guys as media coming in, anybody that's coming into that facility, they'll be screening them, and officials and the event table workers and personnel, chain gangs, you know, all of that type of thing. We just, you know, that's the thing I worry about a little bit is. Is people being honest with us, and that's what could really wreck this. Is if we're selfish and we just worry about ourselves and we're not honest about some of that stuff, and we're not feeling well, but I really need to watch my son tonight or my daughter or whatever, and then we end up having an outbreak of some sort because of that. That's the type of stuff that's going to shut it down.
Ron, we've actually had one question in particular. In addition to, you know, sometimes we tend to skew athletics, and that's fine. But activities is part of the game as well. What is the status of state marching band at this point from the WHSAA? Have you had a chance to look at that at all?
Yeah, we have. You know, and the guidance we put out, we did title it Fall Sports Guidance, but it really is for all activities, those guidelines that we put out, that'll be the same for them. We should have an announcement shortly. I've been working with the marching band directors and their board of directors, and they're looking at some other options as well. The biggest challenge there is the numbers that we do get. And that's the one thing that, as you saw with our adjustments we made to culminating events, is anything we can do to reduce large gatherings. So they're looking at options. I've given, you know, we've shared some options that we think maybe could work, and we should have a decision here. They want to make it fairly soon so that people know where they're at, because practices and those types of things obviously would be affected whether we were or were not having it, those types of things.
Ron, and we mentioned state marching band just because we had a listener ask that specifically, but as you mentioned, all activities, you think about music across the board and different music festivals, speech and debate type events, and everything like that. Of course, all of it is impacted with this.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, a lot of our activities do have large gatherings, and so all of those activities do have their own boards, and so we're certainly willing to work with them. Last year, as you know, maybe you know, I think you know that we were able to go ahead and we did finish up with a state speech, an online state speech meet. We did have that. FBLA was able to do some things online and have some of their conference. Obviously, all of those things look different, but at least they were able to do that. You know, our FBLA and our FCCLA and some of those, they have fall conferences and then spring conferences, and those usually have, you know, 400 to 500 kids. So we're not going to be able to do those types of things. So we have to look and try and be creative as to how else can we get the same outcome out of what we're hoping to do with those conferences.
Ron, I guess I have one more question. If you could talk to John and Jane Q, mom and dad, when it comes to supporting, let's say, a senior this year, coming off the weirdness of last year, and they're obviously going to be pretty fired up that things are going. What are some of the basics? Are they you already mentioned one? You know, hey, if you're not feeling well, don't be selfish. Should they be? You know, are we talking masks? Are we talking being involved with the school as much as possible. What's some advice you would give senior parents at this point?
Well, I think just trying to be as safe as possible and not getting complacent with it, or this is not a, you know, a political situation at all. We're just trying to do what we can, depending on the facilities, you know, and that, again, those schools are still going to be working with their local health departments on different requirements. And so some school districts may not even allow spectators at all. And, you know, if that happens as a parent, sure, you're disappointed, but it's about your son or daughter. We're trying to give them the best opportunity we can to participate, and so just supporting them in that way, and being able to realize the benefits that those kids get by participating, and the life lessons they learn, but also the social and emotional health. You know, that's what we kept trying to really emphasize with the state health department, is the total health of the child, not just, you know, the school part of that. We don't want this going back into the schools, because now we could really have an impact that affects a lot more people than what we needed. So just really trying to, you know, follow those guidelines. And I know not everybody likes all the restrictions, but it's just really all trying to be done to keep the kids safe and to be able to have a season for them.
Ron,
we all remember what happened last spring. We don't want that.
Right. Ron Laird, director of the Wyoming High School Activities Association, with us this morning. Thanks so much for your time, Mr. Laird. Anything you missed that you wanted to mention this morning about the upcoming fall activity season?
No, I just you know, be flexible, I guess, as there's going to be some things that I'm sure that we are not even aware of right now that we're going to have to change and be ready to move on the fly. You know, as we get to one of our concerns is the concerns of a lot of the other NCAA and everybody else's, as we get into that October, early November, with the influenza season kind of starts kicking up. If there's a chance that the health department called and said, hey, we're seeing a real outbreak around the state with the bad flu and this and that, you guys better look at finishing it up. We'll finish sooner than we have to. If we have to, we want to be able to try and have culminating events. And so that's important to us as well.
Ron Laird, director of the Wyoming High School Activities Association, with us this morning on First Bank Sports Friday. Ron, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.